choose today, after serving God a few years that I have, I refuse today to let darkness rule my life, sickness rule my life, to let rule my life, to let open rule my life. I simply refuse to allow it to rule in my life. Hallelujah. Why? I'm going to bring out scriptures. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. You see, He was made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse so that the blessing of Abraham could come on us by the Spirit when He ascended on high and sent it. See, we have the same power, according to Romans 8, that Jesus had. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, if you are born again, lives inside of you. I mean, that needs to become a revelation to some of us. I remember I was doing Bible study back here before God told me to come and start a church. And I had that revelation. I was reading there in Romans, and it dawned on me all. Light came to me. I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. I thought, Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus, God lives in me. He said, my word is truth. He said, whatever my word says, He said, that is truth. And so I got up and I thought, glory to God. What am I moping around for? What's wrong with me? You know, I'm not needed anymore. The same has been a lot of years ago. This has been 28 years ago, I guess. 29, probably 29 and a half. I've been born again 30. See, it don't take a bunch of knowledge to get some light. It takes a willing heart. You know, it takes me open to the Lord, whatever He's speaking to me in my life. That's you, me and you. You know, just like if he tells you to love your enemies and you hate some people, you know, and you embrace that, you say, okay, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but your word says that I'm supposed to love them. See, what happens is He begins to lead us into walking in the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, the Bible says that we was redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death so that the blessing could come on us through Abraham. The blessing of Abraham could come on us. And the blessing of the Lord is not a car, it's not a good marriage, it's not your house, and that's not the blessing. The blessing of the Lord is an empowerment from God to prosper and succeed. No matter where we are in life, no matter what's going on in our life, see, we must learn to live by faith. We must learn to live based on what the Bible says. See, if you believe anything other than based on what the Bible says, it's sinking sand. It'll crumble. It'll let you down. One time the banks and stuff was failing me, and I'd borrowed most of my life, and God had been getting a deal with me about getting out of debt. You know, believe to pay things off early. Believe and do something about it, and blah, 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 you know. And all of that, and when He did that, then the things that I'd leaned on and trusted on began to fail me. I had all the banks fail me. I had money fail me. I had job fail me. I had it all to fail me. And I'm before the Lord, and I'm like, God, what is going on here? I'm believing You. You said I would speak to the mountains and all of that stuff, and God spoke to me in my heart. He said, son, He said, I'm letting everything that you've leaned on fail you. He said, but I won't fail you. And everything that I leaned on and trusted in, not really consciously doing it, failed me. But you know what? I started leaning on, you know that song, lean on me when you're not strong, if you need a friend. Somebody to lean on. I started leaning on Him. I started trusting Him. And you know what? Years later, I came out of all of that. I didn't lose anything. I came out of all of it. I stood on the Word in there. If you feel like you're losing and you're going under, find you Scripture in the Bible. Jesus said, no man has left father and mother, lands, brothers and sisters for my sake and the gospel's, and lost anything, but he shall receive 100-fold in this life and go to heaven. That's a pretty good deal. That's a good deal. I stood on that scripture. That's all I had that was alive to me in a time when I was fixing to lose my home and everything that we had, we had borrowed and we owed money on, and no money coming in. Don't let the enemy get you down and make you believe where you're at. If you're in a bad place, that you're strapped and nothing you can do about it. He is a liar. You are never strapped. You are never where you don't have a choice. Never. It feels like you do, but you lean on Him. You know what? I came out of all of that, and today I stand. Talking to one of my sisters yesterday, and I tell this to give you hope. If some of you can't see no way out, or ever never think you can own anything, or be anything, or go anywhere, or have anything, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Jesus took on Himself poverty for you to be that way wealthy. See, but you can't think broke-minded. You can't think poor old me. If the world would just give me a break, you won't never make it. See, Jesus gave us a break. Me and Teresa fixed a wheel up, you know. And we went down there and we put what our assets and things and what we wanted to go to and all of that in that wheel. And when something happens to us, the law will uphold that wheel. The courts will uphold that wheel. What we've left to who we wanted to leave it to, that they will uphold that, even though they might not deserve it or whatever. Well, how many knows that's what the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus done? It sealed the covenant. It sealed the will of God. It sealed it. It's sealed in His blood. Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus, when He hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." What is finished? I'll tell you what's finished. Salvation was finished. Healing was finished. I mean a good life, a good marriage, all of this emotional stuff that Satan throws our way and tells us that we're no, what all of that, if in Him you won't have that, in faith you won't have that, you're the righteousness of God, you've been made that way, going to church don't make you right, not cussing anymore don't make you right, all of that's good works, it's works that comes with righteousness, but the righteousness of God is in Christ Jesus, not our own. That righteousness begins to cause us to act right. It's not that we act right, then now we're righteous. No. And see, if you believe that way, then the enemy's going to say, well, you didn't pray enough, so why you didn't get your healing. You didn't fast enough. You don't fast. That's why you don't get your healing. See, he's trying to keep you down there not to receive the free gift. Did you know that healing is your property? Jesus paid for it, and He gave it to us, right? That's why I stand against COVID. That's why, personally, I try to get this church outside. You stand against it out there. You don't fear. We don't fear flu. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, did you take the flu shot? I said, I've never had it. I said, I had a friend take it here a while back, and I'm not anti-flu shot, so don't get your feathers all riled up. Go do what you want to. I'm not your God, and I'm not the one to tell you what to do in your life. I tell you my stories, and you do what you want to with yours. But they said, I said, I've never took one. I said, I don't plan on ever letting them put the flu in me. I said, I have had a friend or acquaintance, friend. I said, he just went and got the flu shot because it's flu season. I said, and he's been in the bed for 2 weeks because he got the full-blown flu right after they give him the shot. I told him, I said, why would I want to take that chance when, and then I stopped, because I have the blood. I've been redeemed from flu. I've been redeemed from all of that. You've been redeemed from it, praise God. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, Isaiah 53. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. The Bible says for us to take the shield of faith in Ephesians 6 and quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Are you saying all this is of the devil? Let me tell you what the Scripture says. It says all good things come from the Lord. Is flu good? Is COVID good? Is poverty good? Is oppression good? Is trouble in your marriage good? Ain't none of that comes from the Lord, are they? Why? Because we know the Scripture says all good things come from the Lord. So we got to determine what's God and what's not. Well, we don't understand how the devil get that power. Well, Adam give it to him in the garden. When he came down and he deceived Eve. Satan deceived Eve. Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. And Adam turned power over to sin, to darkness. And then that darkness began to reign, according to Romans. He said, by one's man, disobedience, sin reign. That death began to reign. The Bible says sin brings death. Destruction. So that's what you see in that. In the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness. There wasn't no COVID there. There wasn't no flu there. None of that was there. No, didn't have to sweat it. They didn't have to worry. They didn't have to, and then here come the power of darkness in. Through Adam giving satanic to Satan reign and rule. And then Satan drew a third of the angels out with him, and they're here on the earth, and they are out here distributing darkness. There are spirits of infirmity in the Bible. There's spiritual wickedness. Some spirits can make you feel like you're going to die with just their presence. They get you to feel like, oh God, what's wrong with my body? And then they'll say, it's cancer. I hear people, their throat will start scratching and they'll say, I know I'm making fun, but I'm telling you right now, me and you need to stand against and hate poverty and hate sickness. And I mean, we're not going to have it in our house. And I mean, plead the blood. Go get you some anointing oil. Anoint the house. Lay your head on your own self and anoint your own head, praise God, hallelujah. You're an elder. You're in the kingdom. The Bible says in Mark 16:17, these signs will follow them that believe. Are you a believer? He said, you should have signs following you. You're a believer. I don't know. Just stop not believing. That's a choice. Light has come to you. Now lay hands on your kids. Rebuke it off of your wife. Rebuke it off of you. Put a shield of faith up and tell it. Talk to it. The Bible says everything that is named has to bow to the name of Jesus. Now Jesus ain't down here anymore. Come on, somebody. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ain't he? Jesus ain't down here no more. But everything that is named has to bow to the name. The word name there, when you look at it, it says to the authority. Well, who has that authority now? The body of Christ. Jesus said, I will not leave you powerless. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you alone. When I sin, the Spirit's going to come. And they waited in the upper room in the book of Acts. And the power came, and they were all filled with the Bible says that it came in as of a mighty rushing wind and filled the house. And all of us have been receiving that same spirit ever since the book of Acts. But you know, boldness in you is built in you by choice of your trust and confidence in the Lord. I just done sermon Wednesday night, when trouble comes. You know, it's going to come to your house. I don't care how much faith you got. I don't care how much you read the Bible. There is a real devil. There's real circumstances, but there's also real answers in the Bible by the choices that me and you make. I made up my mind that I will never get a divorce, although I have wanted to several times over the years. If anybody been married in any time, length of time at all, you'll have them thoughts. But that's why the Bible says, me and you, we live in this flesh, but we don't war according to it. We don't yield to our feelings and our emotions. We turn to the Word of God, and it says that no weapons formed against my marriage will prosper. So I get up, get in my truck at times. This ain't happened a long time now. But I won the battle. I won the victory. Once you win the victory over something, you don't have to too much battle with it anymore. Once you take the reins over something, you don't too much. You get in that place of victory in it. There might an attack come every now and then, but nowhere near your battle will be like it was way back down yonder when you really thought you could had to do it. But I made up my mind. And I told Teresa one time, she says, I want a divorce, and packed her stuff up. We about 10 years, 7 years, Lord, I can't take it no more. Packed her little stuff up, and they wasn't a motel empty she could find, so she come back home. I'm sitting there on the couch. Travis, he's about 15 years old. He's 31 now. And he's sitting there, and he says, Dad, he said, are you not going to go after Mama? I said, no, son. See, I done learned not to worry. I done the exercise. I'm not worried about nothing. Nothing. I'm not worrying about my life. The Bible says, don't worry about your life, right? Don't worry about what you eat, what you'll put on, and all of this. He says, don't worry. And I thought one time, I've never seen a bird just barely walking because it ain't getting nothing to eat. What's wrong with that bird? He can't find nothing. I guess God shut the windows of heaven up for him. Have you noticed birds ain't got jobs? I mean, they don't. There's plenty out there for them. God, they're just like us. The Bible says God supplies all of our needs according to his riches. How rich is he? In glory by Jesus. I mean, how big is his riches? The Bible says the earth and everything in it belongs to him. The Bible says the gold and silver is mine, says the Lord. See, God has a way of bringing the blessing, the empowerment to us through the Spirit, and then giving us faith to believe that he'll do what he does through the Word of God. See, you've got to get the Word of God and let it be first place and final authority in everything in your life. If you do that, I'm telling you, Teresa just preached it, you'll be like that wise man that built his house. You are the house. Jesus is the rock. And everything is built on that chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Our life through the Word of God. And people have told me, well, there's just some people are destined to get divorces. I said, that's not in the Bible. I said, no. I said, now it happens. I said, and people shouldn't get upset at us if they've had 5 divorces and we're preaching to the young kids, you know, that you don't have to ever get a divorce. Don't get upset, because we're going to stick with the Word. We're going to stick with the Word so that the next generation has it in their heart that I never have to go through that stuff that my parents did or my neighbors did or all of that, so that they're not going into it with a defeated mentality to start with if it don't work out within our bone. No, they get in there and they believe God. They say, okay, I did it myself. I said, it's not going to happen to me. Because I found out there was this guy. His name was Huck. Huck, I think. He teaches about generational curses. Larry Huck. You can look him up. Well, I'm sitting there, and I didn't really necessarily like the guy. You know, he used to beat his wife up and throw her down the stairs and all kind of stuff, you know. And he's telling the story, but he said, I realized that there were generational curses. He said, and I begin to look back. He said, and the same thing happened with my daddy and him and my brothers and him and in my family, and it was trying to work now down to me. And I thought about that. I thought, bless God, some of this stuff's trying to work on me. You know, some of this stuff's trying. And I thought, okay, the curse has been broken by Jesus. Then I stood up in my heart and I said, but God, the buck stops here in this Weston house right here. This house right here is not going to be divided. It's going to be united. I'm going to lead my family into victory, togetherness. I mean, I've felt like before, if I wasn't married to Tracy, y'all didn't see too much, 20-something years ago. I mean, this woman is a miracle. I mean, I'm a miracle. We're all miracles, but I know what I'm talking about. I lived in that house. And she does politely now meet me at the door when she don't want me to come in. She'll just open the door there, and my eyes will catch her eyes, and she'll say, what you need? Johnny, that means, you know, go find you something to do because I'm mopping, sweeping, something's going on. You know, and I'm like, yeah, okay then. All right, just be a good boy. I'll be a good boy. See, if I wasn't a good boy, she'd find herself in yonder getting up off the floor in the living room. Who do you think you are, Jack? We done been there, done that. You know. But if I really insisted, she would just back down. She would back down, you know, and she would. But both of us has learned we're not going to yield to the way we feel. We're not going to yield and start saying and doing the things that we used to do when we were there without God, without hope in this world. We are redeemed now. Well, I was sitting doing with the Bible study dudes down here that goes to Redeemed. I go down there most time on Saturday and sit with them on Saturday morning. They was talking about Job, and they was talking about, and this one young guy, he hadn't been saved very long, and he said, what does it mean for your faith to be tried? And I thought about I thought about James over there. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, your marriage, your finances, your kids, your job. Count it all joy. Count it all, woohoo, yeah, baby. Trial time again, hallelujah. How many of us do that? Get in a trial, yeah, glory. I've done it before, glory to God. Somebody said, wow, what'd God do for you? I'm in a trial. You're in a trial? What are you, dumb or what? Man, no, the Bible says count it all joy. So I told that young dude he's having a little trial with somebody in where he's at, you know, and all that. I mean, something, and I'm like, that's a little mole crawling around, you know. that's no trial, man. Wait till the bear comes out, you know. And I told him, don't too much focus on other folk. Don't let other folk be a trial to you. I said, look to the Lord. I said, because the Bible says that the testing of your faith builds some endurance in you if you yield the right way. If you yield the right way, you get stronger. And you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I said, and then before you know it, this won't even be a trial to you. You'll be like, oh, I can't even believe I fell for that. See, that's the way all of you are getting. It's not just this church is special. We're warriors. We're called, anointed, planted, and we're in our zone. You're not here by chance. You might, well, I mean, I live Bluntsville, and I just, it was close here. No, you got it wrong. God directed your steps, and you didn't even know it. The Bible says it. I believe it. He says, the steps of the righteous are ordered or ordained by the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. See, we're called and anointed. I'm just an equipper. I mean, I'm a ministry starter. I'm a push you out in it. I'm a train you up in it. If somebody come in wanting to play the bass, I hope you're already here. Well, you're doing that. I don't even want to do it. But I'm going to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and I'm going to occupy, and I'm going to do that till God sends somebody. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do it joyfully. You ought to try to go take you got two sermons to preach on Sunday morning, and you go pick up 24 kids. Jesus, you think you've been in a trial. Time you get back here, you're like, I'm going to kill them all. I'm killing all of them because they're not at school. They just feel like we ain't in a bunch of rules and regulations. We got Pastor Scott in the bus is chaos. I mean, they are just, they're free from mom and daddy, but God, and they got a good, they sweet pastor won't say nothing. I tell them, y'all just don't hurt nobody each other now. By the time I get here, I'm like, God, what was I going to preach? Well, I can't remember what I studied last night. Oh, man, they've been me on so many things, it's unreal. Then I would just have to cast it over on the Lord and say, God, I ain't got it all figured out, God, but I'm going to walk in that building and I'm going to get up and I'm going to operate in my zone, and you're going to bring your anointing, and I'm going to have the words I need to say, and people are going to be changed. That's how you do your life. Not based on how you feel. The blessing, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. Deuteronomy 28 over there, he said, I mean, I read that one time and it just dawned on me. Light came, like preacher was talking about Deuteronomy 28. I'd read it day after day because preachers was preaching it, and I just seemed to couldn't believe it. You know, you ever been there? You read it and you're like, well, it says it. I mean, I know it says it, man. They said it. And you read it and you read it, and then all of a sudden, it just stuck out to me, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do all that I command you to do, all these blessings will come on you. And I thought, what was he telling me to do? And all I was being told was go to church. That's all, man. That's all I knew. I'm like, glory to God, I'm doing what the Lord says. I'm going to church. I'm not smacking Teresa around anymore. I'm not cussing nobody out at work, man. You know, I'm controlling. See, some people, they don't realize the stable one is in them. And when you identify with that stable one on the inside of you, he starts quickening that word quicker. See, Teresa's anointed to be a homemaker. Some women are anointed to go to work. But whether you're a homemaker or you work, don't never let that be your source. Let God be your source. Let God be your provider. I told the Lord one time, I said, I believe Teresa, Lord, it cost me for her to get a job. I mean, it just seemed to cost. I mean, we're not making no extra money here. She's working Walmart, and it seems that we got less money. And I'm thinking, man, something wrong with this. Not anointed to do it. And so I told the Lord, I said, I know what her job is, Lord. It's to train Travis up in you. At home when I'm not there. Lord, she's anointed to wash dishes and the house ain't dirty all the time. Some of y'all women anointed to do that, you still don't do it. Wash dishes. I told Teresa the other day, I said, might have been the other day, I said, the sweeper just quit here. She's got her two of them round things that goes around the house. And then I hear her talking to him. What's wrong with you? Stupid, get off that. You know, and I'm like, God, that is a robot you're talking to. I'm like, God, man, you know, you're going to spend half the day getting up off there to go babysit the thing that's sweeping the floor for you. I can sweep it before you can get that thing straightened out. She said, get with it. I'm not anointed for that. I'm anointed to know what you're anointed to do. I'm getting deep, Johnny. Praise God. Let's just back out of that one. Put it in reverse. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now I make fun of these things, but me and her, when it comes to the things of God at home, you know, and the enemy, me and her stand together. I mean, we stand together. Even with our kids, we, with Travis, when he would try to, he'd try to manipulate us, one of us, to get what he wanted. And when we finally figured it out together, me and her united with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and we come into a pact that he couldn't break. Because he wasn't, the enemy tried to use him to break us apart. I told him when he was 15 years old, I guess, something like that. Teresa calls me because I don't know what he's doing or ain't doing. Yeah, whatever.
I tell you right now.
Now, I'm not talking like her, but it was kind of close.
One of us is going to have to go.
I said, what?
She said, it's either me or him.
One of us has got to go. And I said, home a little while, gosh. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Nobody knows the troubles. And so I get home and I said, what's going on?
He won't do this. Blah, 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 blah.
Now, you know how teenagers are. They don't want to do nothing around the house. They don't want to take out the garbage. They think it's unfair, you know. I mean, they don't contribute nothing to the house. But they don't want to take the garbage. Well, get off the teenager. Y'all anointed to honor your mother and father. Right? And if we teach them, just so anyhow, I'll tell, get Travis by himself and I'll tell him, son. I told him, I said, son, I said, don't make me choose between you and your mother. Don't ever do it. I said, because your mama was here for you. And we made you. I said, and I was being serious with him. I said, don't ever make me choose between you and your mother. Just comply. Well, he stayed at home. I mean, man, Trisha would have had to get him somewhere. He going to leave when he's 16. Oh, God. Trisha told him, she said, well, you know, you're going to leave here with your underwear. We're going to let you have them. We bought the rest of them clothes. Well, is it true or not? I mean, he ain't got a job. He ain't buying nothing. See, what I'm saying here, you've got an anointing to be a parent, not a friend. We have an anointing to bring things, and it's not rules and regulations. It is safety. It is safety lines for them, because we know that if we get them to honor us and persuade them to honor us, they're honoring God, because this, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with promise. And so, it wasn't about I wanted to choose. I would lay my life down for either one of them any minute of any day. If a bullet was coming and I could stop it with my death, either one of them, I would do it. But I was having to bring in the kingdom. And we made sure that that he didn't manipulate either one of us to cause division. He wasn't doing it on purpose. He wasn't just trying to do it. You know how they are. They just want what they want. And so we kept our marriage together. People get divorces over that stuff. I mean, it's, and not even really realizing this is what the enemy is using. I thank God we're born again. We're redeemed. And you know what? Healing is your property. You need to say, just like you go to the doctor and he says, okay, I'm going to give you a 7-day round of antibiotic. You go and you take that antibiotic and it is working that thing out of your body, whatever it is. The Word does that. The Word is more powerful than the antibiotic. The Bible says in Psalms 107, I believe it is, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Now, I know it was talking about Jesus, but you can't separate Jesus and the word. He said, pay attention to my word. He said, it'll add long life to you. He said, it'll be healing to all of your flesh, the word of God. So I say it all the time. I say it all the time. I told Teresa the other day, now I take natural vitamins and things because I don't really eat like I'm supposed to, you know. That asparagus and stuff, good Lord. You know, let's go to Red Lobster. Let's go to the steakhouse, man. You know, boiled broccoli and all. Man, I need all of that flavoring out of there on it. It don't taste like broccoli when I get done with it. I make it taste like steak if possible, you know. So I told her the other day, I said, I think I need some magnesium. And she said, you're already taking magnesium. How much you need? And I said, I don't know, man. Maybe about 500 milligrams a day of magnesium. I said, I don't really know how much I need. She said, well, you're already taking magnesium. So she goes and gets it in there, and it's, I don't know, it wasn't much. And she said, well, how did you know? I said, well, I don't know, but maybe I need about 500 milligrams of magnesium. Maybe I don't. That's way too much. Well, you know, I mean, I realize, you know, that the word, just like a vitamin, a B1 or whatever, if you take that every day, and you know, the food that you eat has nutrients in it, if it has any. And whatever you eat consistently becomes a part of your body. That's proven, scientifically proven. It becomes a part of your body, and it begins to do things good for you or do things bad for you, and that is proven. Scientific. The Word of God is like medicine that goes in if we consume it every day, and it goes in and works just like these natural things that we do. The Bible says that the spiritual things parallel with the natural things. In other words, that's how we can understand how the kingdom works. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, so that they could understand what the Word does and what the Word could be choked out. I know a lot of Christians today, they say, well, I know the Word says we're healed, but so-and-so died. No, you're changing the Word now. You're believing different based on what you've seen. Now that Word's not going to work effective like it should. If the Bible says that I'm healed and I was healed and I am healed, I am the healed of God, then you'll see me laying on my deathbed and they say, how are you? And I'm going to say, I'm healed. I'll be dying. I'm going to die in faith, Johnny. I'm going to die in faith. I'm going to say, I'm almost fully alive now. Why? Because I'm not even living till I get over there, right? You know, I'm fixing. My brother told me I was going into open heart surgery. You having surgery or anything, got things going on in your life, go in there in faith, come out in faith, stay in faith, recover in faith, recover all the way. Don't let your confession calling everybody, oh God, you just think, whoa, this is the worst thing that ever happened to a human. Now, my brother told me they put my heart out on the table, and I don't know about all that. They offered me videos, and I thought, I'm not watching that terrible stuff. No! Took the operator apart one time, fixing it for the guy. And he comes out, and he said, my God! I said, what is it? He said, I didn't realize all that would be left is a skin. I said, oh, yeah, I'll have that together in a minute. Pssoo, back together. And he said, ooh, I would have never got that thing back together. Well, that's probably the way I'd have felt if I'd have seen videos of me laying on that table, strapped down, opened up, and cut open, hard out. He said they stretched me on it. I don't know about all that. I didn't watch it. Well, you know what that would have done? Oh, Jesus, help me if you can. Don't put me to sleep yet, please. Let me think another minute, just another minute. Can I have another minute? 1 second's all Auburn needed, wasn't it? All they need is a second. Praise God. So don't see, but the thing about it is I didn't watch those because I was not going to go in and let something choke the Word out of me. I wasn't going to go in and let something bring fear based on what I see. And so I went in, one of my brothers, he said, I prayed for you this morning. I don't know if the Lord heard me. I'm laying there, I'm pre-op, man. I'm fixing to go in. And I looked at him and I said, well, hey, I said, I'll talk to him this morning myself, and I'll be back. I said, I'm not done yet. I said, I'll be back in a little while. I said, oh, and by the way, I said, I want to see you in church when I start back to church. I'm trying to recruit him to church in Birmingham, going in an open heart surgery, man. Why? That's not, this body is not you. If you don't believe it, go to a funeral, to somebody's funeral. You don't go up to Bobby Sue and say, oh, Bobby, I know you're in there. No, you know there ain't nothing in there, that Bobby Sue's gone. So that proves to you that you are not that body you're in. We are living on the inside. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. So now we walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Word. When you walk by the Word, you'll be walking by the Spirit. And I'm declaring all of y'all healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, they're already October. They said, here comes the other wave of COVID. They're telling us ahead of time. What are we just going to say, oh, my God? And no, I'm like, how do y'all know? You're telling us back down yonder in September that get ready to mask up and all of that stuff. Pray God. God's people tired of that stuff. We're tired of complying with darkness, hallelujah. We just might as well just resist it. I put all through COVID here, y'all come on to church. Some people tell me, you're just trying to kill people going to church. And I'm like, no, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to keep them alive, man. I'm trying to keep them alive. Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are mighty through God. You might not understand our weapons, but you don't have to. We're not going to lay down our weapons because you don't understand. We're not going to lay down faith and just comply and just be at the mercy and hope to God we don't get nothing. I stood against it. So I put on the thing at church. When I'd invite people to church, I would say, we're social distancing. And we got hand sanitizer if you want it. And we offer masks at the door, and you're fine with it. I said, but most of all, I said, we have the Word of God in action here. That no plague, Psalms 91, will come nigh our dwelling. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. So come on in faith and get you a mask. And all you need to do... I got COVID myself. I felt like I had a little head cold. I got done. I went and got tested. Now, well, you got COVID. I said, oh, is that all it's got? I said, Doc, good Lord. I said, that TV made me think if I ever got it that I ain't going to make it out. I've had open heart surgery. They say I'm a big risk. I told that doc, I said, is that all it's got? He said, what? I said, COVID. I said, is this it? Yoo-hoo, glory to God. Attack me again there, baby. You did no weapon form. COVID can't prosper against you. If it did, it'd put you in the hospital. It'd kill you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It might attack you and something come against you, but you stand in faith with a boldness against it, not based on what CNN and Fox and all of them are saying. I had a doctor mad at me because I wouldn't take the COVID virus shot. I looked at that heart doctor and I said, I'm not taking it, sir, with all due respect. Well, you're at high risk. I said, no, I'm not. He said, if this happens, he said, you're going to meet your maker. I said, I'm ready. I said, I'm ready. I don't fear death. I told that doctor, I said, people's not afraid of COVID. Oh, yeah, they are. I said, no, they're not. I said, they imagine what COVID's going to do to them. I said, they're afraid of dying. I said, they're not afraid of COVID. I said, flu's been floating around out here for years and everybody just got used to it. I said, they're not fearing too much that anymore. I said, they're just fearing dying. I said, there's no fear in love. We're not supposed to fear dying. The Bible says for me to die is gain, for you to die is gain. For to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we rejoice now. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. I mean, you young teenager, get in the Word. Honor your mother and father. Teach them to. We got to teach them to. I've told Travis, I don't know how many times, honor us. You know, honor your mother and father and it's the first commandment with promise, son, that you that think good things will happen to you from Jesus. And he is. My son is 31 years old, and y'all teenagers listen to this. And it's not because he's afraid of me. He better be afraid, because I'm not scared of him. But that ain't why. He's 31 years old, and he has never raised his voice to his father out of anger or anything. Out of respect. See, when we follow the Lord, our life demands respect. We don't make it happen. God causes his grace and his honor to come on us, and we're honored. Because if we train our kids up in the way they should go, here comes that favor of God on us. You know, praise the Lord. So y'all teenagers, take the garbage out. Serve Jesus. Go to school. Believe Jesus to make straight A's. Straight A's. Believe him to make it all the way to college and supply for your college education. Well, we won't drop out of school. Don't be lazy. You can't even get a good job at Dollar General without a GED. Go get your an education. Fight. Go all the way. Be all that you can be. Do the best that you can be. Follow the Lord. And the Lord will take your steps of righteousness, and he will take you into your dreams to where you don't lack anything. My son don't lack like I did at 30. My son's done ahead of me. He's done ahead of me, Johnny. And I did it. I tried my best to plant that word in him, the blessing of the Lord. Don't put your trust in this. I told him he was going to buy him a truck. I said, don't buy a truck. You got a wife that's got a busted car out there. It's junk. Buy her a car. Be a man of God. God wants you to buy her a nice car. And now she drives a better one than him. Nicer one than him. I hear it all the time. I got to get that fixed for Beth. But back down yonder when I was teaching him, he is all about Travis. Just all about him and his truck and his stuff. And Beth ain't getting it. Oh, she always wants some little something. I'm like, you want everything and her to have nothing. That ain't right, man. I told him one time, I said, I showed you how to be a husband. But see, I went to the Lord, Johnny. I really wasn't his example. I went to the Lord and I said, God, I don't know how to be a husband. But Lord, teach me how to be a husband. Teach me how to be a real man, Lord. A real man. And then the first thing he does is takes me to that scripture, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. Wouldn't you know it? And I'm like, no! This can't be it. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Base everything you believe on the Word. I mean, in everything that tries to come to you that is against the Word, cast it down. And I mean, stand bold in your home, over your body. Your body needs healing. I mean, get you some anointing oil. We'll pray for you. But you lay hands on yourself and say, I'm a believer. And according to Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow those that believe. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. I'm the sick. I'm being attacked with sickness, but I'm a believer at the same time. And lay your hands on yourself and cast that thing off of you and resist it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the Lord, Lord. It's an empowerment to prosper, God. And I thank you, Father God, that